would we be had God not made a way? Father, we just want to celebrate as we think on the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and His blood. We want to thank You and praise You for its efficacy, its effectiveness, its sufficiency, its complete ability to cleanse and restore men and women to fellowship to God. And Father, may that truth, the principle of grace, the transaction of redemption, may it always be fresh and red hot, the foundation of all we are and all that we do. Grace. Thank You. We worship You today. Father, we're asking that You take us into Your presence. We want to worship You. We want to meet with You. We want to hear from You. How we need to hear from You. So we look to You. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Good to see you here. Good group. Welcome back, those of you who might have been away on spring vacation. It's time to get back to normal life, isn't it? And so we're really delighted you're here. We want to just let you know that our pastor is away this week. This is his week to be away ministering somewhere, and he's in Arkansas this morning. And we always have the privilege of praying for him and lifting him up during those times of ministry and sharing in that effectiveness each week that he's gone. So I want to encourage you and remind you to pray for him. You know, sometimes we think prayer has to be something that we only do on our knees, you know, in some holy place. If you're driving down the road in your car, man, listening to country music, I don't know, and all of a sudden God impresses you to pray for Pastor Paul. Simple matter, turn the radio off. Jesus. You can lift. God hears you right there. Amen. And boy, it's wonderful. He's with you. You can lift him up. So let me just remind you to do that every day. He'll be there through Wednesday evening. Wednesday evening will be his last meeting. You'll get to have a part of that meeting, even though you're here. In his absence, Bill and Julie Johnson. How many of y'all remember Bill and Julie Johnson? Let me see. I always want something out there. Well, he's here. He's going to be preaching on behalf of Pastor Paul. And they are such a precious couple. Bill's been connected to Trinity over the past, you said 12 years earlier. My word, that's wonderful. And he's really just one of us and one of our guys and his precious wife, Julie. He's been pastoring since he left. It's been about 3 years. Has it been 3 years or two? 2.5. It's been 2.5 years they've been gone. He's been pastoring and doing other things. And he's with us now. And I think you're fixing to be appointed overseas somewhere for a while. Okay. Would you just tell us a little bit about that when you come up? We want to hear about that. I want our folks to know. So just take a little hiatus out of your message and tell us a little bit about that. Okay, we'd really appreciate it. But they're precious. And you'll want to greet them if you haven't seen them yet after the service and just let them know your love for them. But they are dear to us. Let me ask you to look inside your bulletin and you'll see some information there that may be pertinent to you. First of all, Code Jesus is the theme of our VBS this coming summer, that's coming up in June. If you would like to have a part in ministering to the kids during that week, boy, you know, we'd love to talk with you. There's the phone numbers of the gals that you call, Peggy, Barbara, or Charlotte Troutman. They'd be glad to give you other information about this, what would be required for you to be a part of that. But anyhow, I want to encourage you to consider sharing your life with some of those kids. And then Spring Fling's coming up, springtime for you. The information is there. Registration forms are in the Welcome Center. And Teresa or any of the other gals whose names are listed there would be glad to take your registration forms and your checks for that registration. So let me encourage you to do that. Tonight is our evening of praise, our monthly evening of praise. That's always such a warm and a precious time in the presence of God. And He makes that happen. You know, He really does. And we just want to acknowledge that, but we want to invite you to come and be a part of that special time tonight. I think it'll be a really neat moment in the presence of our Father. Let me just say that this coming Wednesday night now, in the absence of our pastor, our Wednesday night Bible teaching time will be canceled, but it will resume the following Wednesday night. And one other thing I want you to notice down there, at the very bottom of the inside sheet, it says Children's Choir is coming April 10th. Watch for more details. I'm really delighted to be able to say to you that after a lot of planning and praying through, you'll be able to, for an 8-week period of time, we're going to try a very special thing with our children, preschool through sixth grade. There'll be a preschool group of children who will meet. There'll be first and third grade, and then fourth through sixth. We're really excited about this, and I want you to be watching for more details. On the music bulletin board, I'm going to post the names of the directors and other information. As a matter of fact, this week we'll do that. They will start their training tonight, and teachers will, the directors of those groups. So it's really going to be a neat 8-week period of time for our children. And so you be talking with your children and be planning. It'll be on Sunday nights, 5 o'clock, and it'll really be an effective training and worship time for your children. I guarantee you that. Okay. If you're visiting with us today for the very first time, you're a delight to us. We want to just make you feel welcome and give you a nice Oklahoma howdy, okay? I mean, we don't want to embarrass anybody in any way, but we do want to acknowledge your presence. So, ushers, would you come, please? And here's how we do this. If you're visiting for the first time, we want to ask you to please remain seated. Then all of our Trinity folks are going to stand. So would you do that? All home folks, or if you've been visiting here many times, just stand. If you're visiting for the first time, remain seated. And our ushers want to give you a visitor's card. So guys, go get them. Please take that and fill it out and put it in the offering plate when it comes by a little later in our service. You're offering to us just to give us that information. We want to send you a note that just simply says thank you for your coming and being a part of our worship service today. You really are a delight and are adding so much by your presence. Okay, I think we've got them all. Well, Trinity folks, turn around and greet them. Find out who they are. Welcome them in Jesus' name. this coming Thursday evening, Point of Grace, in concert. Thursday evening, 7 o'clock right here. The doors will open at 6:30, and seats are first-come, first-served basis. We really think it's going to be crowded, so if you want a good seat, you'll need to come a little early. And I want to say that three of these gals are from our church. It's a privilege to be able to say that. As a matter of fact, they've been nominated for a 1994 Dove Award for Best New Artist. God is blessing their ministry. And so Thursday night, 7 o'clock, I encourage you to come. Hear them. Be praying for them. A special, special time.
Okay.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost.
Once burned bright and clear.
The fire that was originally initiated or ignited by grace, by the accomplishments of God, Jesus Christ.
Light that fire that once burned bright and clear, and replace the lamp of my first love that burns with holy fear.
Fresh and new, Father, would you restore the passion that has waned in me with a fresh glimpse of the cross, grace, the blood of Jesus Christ. Would you do it? And the completeness of redemption that is mine in Him, would you do that work in me? Renew our passion.
Replace the lamp of my first.
ushers, would you come?
Well, we get the privilege of giving. One of the neat things about worship. Being part of a total experience of meeting God, coming into His presence, being taken by all that He is and all that He's done for us, and then being overcome by this longing and desire to give Him something in return. This is one of the ways we can do it. It's also done at an altar where we give our lives fresh and new. But now's your opportunity to continue in participating. So, Lord, we love You. Boy, You're beautiful. Thank You for Your grace abounding to us as it has. What a passionate love You've demonstrated in our behalf. Oh, we just simply want to love You in return, give to You out of the awesome abundance that has become ours. So be pleased by every speck of everything that happens in this place. True worship. In Jesus' name.
Lord, I hate to take Your time, 'cause You've heard it all before. But there are questions on my mind I can't find the answers for. In spite of how it may appear, You know that my heart is true, and I find the truth I'm searching for in You. Everything You are is all I'll ever need. There is not a breath I take where You cannot lead. How can I be less than what You ask of me? 'Cause everything You are is all I'll ever need. Of compromise, it's so hard to really know if satisfaction truly lies in what You can call Your own. Father, help me separate between all my wants and needs till I only see the things You have for me. 'Cause everything You are is all I'll ever need. There is not a path I take where You cannot lead. How can I be less than what You ask of me? When everything You are is all I'll ever need. When everything You are is all I'll ever need.
Thanks, Greg. I got to hear that song twice. Boy, isn't that wonderful?
My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Christ is all that I need. All that I need. I'm going to take a few minutes before I begin. And it's hard to do that for me because so much of the times when I speak, whatever's saying is so much on what's on my heart. It's hard to stop and say, okay, I'm going to take a break. Tell you something else here in a minute, but I'm going to do that. Thanks for asking us to come today. And thank You for the ministry that You have through Paul to other churches. Julie and I came here right out of seminary. Julie had been a journeyman in Zimbabwe as a nurse, and I had finished seminary, and we dated long distance. And we finally got together in September of 1990, and we moved to Norman. I'd gone to college here at OU and was involved in Trinity, involved in the Baptist Student Union. And I wanted to come back here so that we would have some time to be in this church and around the people that had taught me so much about Jesus and that had loved me and that had believed in me and helped me when I really needed it. And in ways they may not have ever even known or seen. And so we wanted to come back here and spend at least a year. And we didn't know how long we'd be here, but we wanted to spend at least 1 year here just to get established in our relationship. We got to know each other through letters, basically, and a phone call at 81 cents a minute that didn't work when it rained too much in Africa. So so we wanted to come here and just be here. And while we were here that year, the Lord did open the opportunity for us to begin vocational ministry. And I accepted the pastorate in eastern Oklahoma. And I went there, and this church ordained me. And this church has prayed for us. And this church has loved us. And we've stayed in touch through our ups and downs and ins and outs of life. We've come back here, and we've called people. And when we've hurt and when we've been happy, we've called people and said, you know, to help us. And hopefully to be a blessing to them too. But we're thankful for you and for the ministry that you've given to us through Paul and to other churches, just like what he's doing right now. Paul came to Vian, where I was pastor, last year in January. And he did a wonderful series, the same series I guess he's still doing, but a wonderful series that our people had probably never heard the depth and of what he's teaching. About our relationship with Christ, about what life is, about what the Christian life is really about. But Paul took a lot of time to spend with Julie and me. He stayed at our home quite a bit. He had a lot of meals with us. He spent a lot of time with me. And that was the high point of our time there for me. And it established a friendship, I feel like, between Paul and myself. And thank you for letting him do that. You won't realize until we go to heaven the impact that he's having, God is having in him by this letting him go once a month to these churches, lots of them that may not ever hear what he's teaching unless you let him go and teach it. So thanks for that. Julie and I resigned. I resigned the church in August. And we've been in Tulsa. We've been in Tulsa working. And we started this whole episode back. Julie was at Baylor and I was here at OU. And we both felt like, didn't know each other then, but we both felt like the Lord wanted us to be foreign missionaries. We both sensed in our hearts and from what the promises God had given us from the Scriptures that we were to give our lives, give our time and what career, whatever career we had, to spend our time in a third world or developing nation or wherever God wants to send us as Christian missionaries. And so we've been working on getting there. It seems like sometimes my timetable hasn't been God's timetable, but we're still working on that. And right now we're in Tulsa, and we've applied with the Foreign Mission Board through their International Service Corps program to go as a. We don't know how it's going to work out yet. We just now sent off our stack of paperwork about this thick. Actually, it's about this thick, but felt like it's this thick. We just sent it off to the Foreign Mission Board last week, and we're hoping to be appointed as church planner apprentices. I'd be appointed as a church planner apprentice in some country that we aren't certain of yet. If you want to pray for us, pray two things. Pray that God would make it clear to us what country He wants us to be in. And above all, what we feel like we need in our lives right now is we want to be, now God may have something else in mind, but we feel like that what we need right now is to be put in a situation with an older pastor that loves the Lord Jesus with all of his heart, that loves Jesus more than he loves anything else, more than he loves any tradition, more than he loves any organization, and that has a heart to win the world to Christ. And we want to learn from his life and his family's life and become dear friends with him. In other words, we're praying for a mentor. If it's a church planner apprenticeship program, we hope to have a mentor for a while. And what we're going to do with that, we hope, this is our plans, God can change them. We hope that through that we can finish our requirements for career appointment, being appointed with the Foreign Mission Board, have a good solid foundation, be for sure that we are supposed to be church planters, and be fairly certain of what country we're supposed to spend a large portion of our time in, and then be appointed after 2 years in this apprenticeship program and go back to that country or to another place where God may want to lead us, and go back and spend the rest of our careers until Jesus comes back, which I hope is not too long, spend that in that country. Amen. That's right. I'm ready for it. So thank you for having a part in our lives. It's hard for me to speak twice because I'm such an experiential, if you want to call that, teacher. I share out of my experiences. That makes it hard for me to preach. And it makes it particularly hard two times in a row because I've already poured out my heart the best I can this morning. And I don't think it'll ever be the same. I don't think I've ever preached the same sermon twice. I wish I were not that way sometimes. Sometimes I wish I had things cut and dried and could share them and it would be that way all the time. But it's not for me. So I'm going to share with you my heart and what we've been experiencing in my relationship to the Lord, what I've been learning from the Lord. And it has a lot to do with what Greg's saying about. And Christ is all that I need. He's all that I need. I'd like us to pray together. Lord Jesus, we come to you and we come rejoicing in your life that you've placed within us through the Spirit of God. We come rejoicing in you that we are your children, that you've adopted us into the household and the family of God. We come giving you thanks, O God, our Father, that you are sufficient for all our needs. You are El Shaddai, the God who pours forth life, who pours forth everything that we need and want and require to be fulfilled and happy and contented. And Lord, I pray today that as we open your word together, and that as I share, that you would speak to all of us, deepen our relationship to you, deepen our love for you, deepen our understanding of who you've made us and what you've done in our lives, and encourage us and build us up. Now, I'm weak and you are strong, and I come to hide myself in the life of Christ that is mine. Open your word to us. In Christ's name. Just with your eyes closed, sometimes I love to sing, and I want to... You just keep your eyes closed. I want to continue to pray for us through a song. Only Jesus, only He brings salvation, full and free. There's a longing in all. That has been the lesson of my life since becoming a Christian at 14. It's what Greg sang about. And that song by Steve Green is probably my favorite song. Only Jesus, only He brings redemption full and free. There's a longing in all of our lives that only Jesus satisfies. Not going to find it in anything else. Not going to find it in anyone else. You're not going to find it in all of the right circumstances being lined up. You're not going to find it in all of the degrees that you can attain or I can attain. You're not going to find it in the greatest position that you can find in the workplace. You're not going to find it in material possessions. It's going to be found in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Your relationship to God your Father, our Abba, that He made through us, for us, through Christ's death on the cross, through Christ's resurrection. Only Jesus satisfies. Only Jesus satisfies. I want to speak to you about the joy that God wants to give us in life. The fullness of Christ's joy. Christ said, I've come that you might have my joy made full in yourselves. How do we have the fullness of Christ's joy? Life's not easy, is it? Now, I know some of you elderly people that have lived here a long time, we could do well to sit down and listen to you and listen to what life is all about. Listen to the struggles that's involved in life, couldn't we? College student, young people do that. If you have grandparents, or if you know someone in the church that's older, take the time to go and listen to them. And look at the joy in their lives from their relationship with the Lord. And look at how they've learned through economic hardships, through losses of spouses, through losses of children, through wars, through depression, through difficulties. Learn from them about how that Christ has made His joy full of themselves. Learn for that from their lives. But all of us, particularly we younger bucks, you know, we younger people, we've got a lot to learn about what it means to suffer for the Lord Jesus and be joyful and glad in Him. We have a lot to learn what it means to have the fullness of Christ, to realize, to experience the fullness of Christ's joy. Now, Paul gives us a commentary on that in the book of Philippians. Some of you may have read Chuck Swindoll's book, Laugh Again. It's a wonderful book on joy. And what it is, it's a Bible study out of the book of Philippians. And Chuck Swindoll does it in a way that I never could, so I'd encourage you to read his book. But it's helped me. It's helped me in my relationship with the Lord. You know, life, sometimes we get in our mind that living the Christian life is easy. And that doing God's will, it ought to just all fall in place. And God just takes a red carpet and He rolls out and He said, this is my will, walk down it. You're never going to experience a difficulty in life. But it's not that way. It will never be that way. Jesus didn't. You know what Jesus did? Jesus pulled His disciples aside one time after He was in the temple and He healed somebody. And He pulled them aside and He said, now guys, the Son of Man must go to Jerusalem and be delivered up in the hands of sinners. And they're going to beat me. And they're going to mock me. And they're going to hang me on a cross. That's all right. In 3 days, I'm going to rise again. But I'm going to suffer for the sake of you and because I love my Father. And yet Christ told us, He said, I've come that you might have my joy made full in yourselves. And Paul gives us an example of that right out of his own life. What is joy? The Greek word for joy is the word chara. The word chara. It's real closely aligned with the Greek word for grace, which is charis. The only difference is the ending of the word. In Greek, that ending means a particular thing. But the root is the same, care. Chara. And what that word means is a gift from God. It is something that God pours out on us. It's something that God gives us. And we know that one of the fruits of the Spirit is love, and you say it with me, love, joy. It is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. A fruit is something that is grown. A fruit is something that is born. A fruit is something that something else produces for us. A fruit is a gift. One of God's gift to you as His child is chara, joy. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. All of those fruits are God's gift to you as His child. When you became a Christian and you asked the Lord Jesus in your life, He gave you a life, and it was the life of Himself, the life of the Spirit of God, the life of Christ. Maybe that woke you up. Excuse me, I've had a cold. I told Mike Bobo to turn me down if he saw me doing something I wasn't supposed to do. So, Kara. Something God gives to His child through the life that He's placed in you. Joy. It's hard to describe joy because we always think of it as happiness. And I can't find a word to go beyond that. So let me qualify that word by calling it a great happiness or a deep happiness. Joy is a great happiness and delight in the light and in life regardless of the circumstances. Joy is a great or deep happiness and delight in life regardless of the circumstances. You might see the opposite of joy as depression or discouragement or defeat or despair. Paul taught us about this deep joy and how his fullness of joy was found in Christ. In the book of Philippians, if you turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. verse 1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, including the overseers and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always offering prayer with joy in my every prayer for you all, in view of your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. For it is only right for me to feel this way about you, because I have you in my heart, since both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of grace with me. For God is my witness, how I long for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness, which comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Now listen to Paul's circumstances. And I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Verse 19, for I know that this shall turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I shall not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ shall even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. Sinus bug, and I can't get rid of it. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And then in verse 29, for you it has been granted for Christ's sake not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Paul found the joy, the fullness of Christ's joy in spite of his circumstances. How did he do that? There are several things that Paul did that we can learn from his life. Let me give you the background of the Philippian church, okay? Paul was on his second missionary journey. He and Silas were together, and I think also Timothy and Luke. And they were on their way to Asia. And God, and Luke writes, the Spirit of God restrained them from going to Asia. That was their plan. Their plan was to go into Asia to preach the gospel. The Spirit of God said, no. And the Spirit of God, Paul had a dream, and he dreamed about the Macedonian man, and Paul went to Macedonia. Well, that was the district that this Roman outpost was in called Philippi. It was a city with special privileges. A city, because they had the rights and privileges as of Rome, because they were an outpost, a Roman outpost. And there Paul went, and he found Lydia, the seller of purple. Do you remember the story in Acts 16? And Paul found a few, and he began preaching Christ to them. And the community got in an uproar, and they took Paul, and they took Silas, and you know what they did with them? The servant of God. You want to serve God? This is just one of the qualifications, okay? They took Paul and Silas, and they stripped the robes off their back, and they took rods, and they beat them. And then they threw them in prison. Do you know what Paul and Silas did that night? Servants of God. They didn't get bitter and angry. They didn't say, God, why did you lead me to Macedonia? I was on my way to Asia. Things were easy there. That was my plan. And you interrupted my plan, God. And you took me to Macedonia. And in Macedonia, look what happened to us. We were beat and thrown in prison. Now we're mad at you, and we're angry. Is that what he did? Read it in Acts 16. Bear with me through my cough. No. He and Silas sang hymns of praise to God that night. And they offered thanksgiving to God.
and God moved, and God caused an earthquake, and the doors of the prison cells flew open, and the guard, the jailer who was to guard them with his very life, he thought, good night, these guys are going to all escape. I'm going to lose my head. I've not done my duty. I'm going to kill myself. So he put the sword to his chest or whatever he did. You and I are probably, I don't know about you, but what I've done, do it, buddy. You know, look, so you beat me and threw me in prison, do it. Maybe I wouldn't have done that. I hope I wouldn't have. But out of bitterness, we would have done that. But Paul and Silas, Paul said, hey, buddy, don't kill yourself. And he, that jailer had been hearing, if you read in Acts 16, that jailer in Philippi had been hearing about the gospel because all the scriptures say it, all of the prisoners heard them singing about Jesus. Amen? Heard them singing about Jesus. And that jailer comes running in there, and you know this verse. You know the story. He says, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Now, man, don't you know he heard the gospel coming out of Paul and Silas' mouth in that prison cell with the whelps on their back singing about the Lord Jesus, servants of God? Paul understood something about being a servant. Paul understood something about having the fullness of Christ's joy. He understood that being God's servant required that you depend totally upon Jesus. But you see, the sovereignty of God in all circumstances. I want to share with you some definitions from chapter 2, verse 1 about these words. We read these words, if there is, therefore, there is any encouragement. Right before this, Paul, speaking out of experience, he tells them, it's been granted for Christ's sake not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake, experiencing the same conflict which you saw in me. They saw Him get beat. They saw Him get thrown in prison. And now here to be in me. But let me tell you something, he says. There's something that will bear you with you through that. If there is any encouragement in Christ. What is encouragement? Let me read to you what that word means. If there is any encouragement in Christ. Encouragement is the word paraklesis. Oh, what's that sound like? Ah, paraclete, the Holy Spirit, right? Encouragement, a present help, guide, and strength. If there is any present help and any present guiding and any present strength in Christ, let me tell you, there is, he says. If there is any consolation, love. What is consolation? It's the word paramuthion. The instrument of God's love in Christ to comfort me with a great degree of tenderness and gentleness. Are you going through a difficult circumstance? Have you chosen to follow God? Have you chosen to follow the Lord Jesus? Have you given your life to Christ and now you're facing a circumstance and a situation that may not be like Paul where you were beaten and thrown in prison, but in your mind, and in my suffering, sometimes in my mind, it's difficult. And it may not be even to nearly as much as Paul went through or somebody else, you know, but it's still suffering. And God's still working His purpose in it. You're still His child. And you still need the encouragement, the paraklesis, and the paramuthion, the consolation. You still need the instrument of God's love in Christ pour out on you in comfort with a great degree of tenderness and gentleness. And if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, what is fellowship? If it wasn't enough to have the encouragement, a present help and strength, he said, if there's fellowship, that's the word that we know so well, koinonia. That word means a sharer, a partner, one who participates in all of my life, a partnership in all that I experience, in my glad days, and in my sad days. When things are going well as a Christian, when things are going difficult as a Christian. You know, that sounds a lot like what Paul said. He said, for I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, of having abundance and suffering need. And you know this verse. I want you to say it with me. I can do all things. Say it with me. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Paul learned the secret of the
of the encouragement and the consolation and the fellowship of Christ. And then affection. If that's not enough, if there's not... Then the affection of Christ. The affection and compassion. What is affection? It's from the deepest part of the heart of God. That word affection means from the deepest part of the heart of God, He's going to pour out on you His tender mercies and His present comfort. Isn't that wonderful? Paul knew that from experience. That's why. And also, not only that, compassion. Oikumenos. That means to understand and to act in love because of the distress of another person. To understand and to act in love. God sees our situation. He sees your circumstances. He saw the circumstances of Paul and Silas in the prison cell that night. He understood very well where they were at. In fact, he put himself in their shoes, in their very life. Paul said, I know the fellowship of Christ's sufferings. And I have in my body to prove what he says. And Jesus says, I think if Jesus would have spoken here, he'd say, Paul, I have the fellowship of your sufferings. I've borne those stripes with you. I've been with you when you were beat and thrown in prison. Whatever you're going through, I doubt if many of you have been thrown in prison and beat. I never have. But whatever situation you're going through, God says, child, you're sharing in my suffering. For it has been granted to you not only to believe in His name, but also to suffer for Christ's sake. We don't know that very well as Americans. Some of the older, elderly people may know it from economical difficulties and other things. But many people in the world do know it. But even in life as we have it here, so good, you know, even as a college student at OU, I sometimes suffer. Do you ever suffer? Do you ever have a difficulty? Struggle in a relationship with somebody? A struggle with school? A struggle with your spouse? A struggle in your job? Suffering. Christian life is not an easy life. Nobody said it was going to be easy. And sometimes we want it to be. Sometimes we paint a picture that if I become a Christian and I give my life to Christ, I'm never going to have another problem. It's all going to be bed of roses. But it's not. But how do we have the fullness of Christ's joy in that? We depend upon Christ. We depend upon the presence of Christ in our lives and the sovereignty of God. Satan has nothing to do with your life as a Christian. He's on a chain. He's on a leash. There are not two powers in the universe. That is false teaching. If you hear anybody say there's good and there's evil and good and evil struggle with each other, that's baloney. Good Greek word for that. That's baloney. God is sovereign over all of creation. God is sovereign over your life. He's sovereign over what's happening in Yugoslavia. He's sovereign over what's happening in America. He's sovereign over your suffering, college student, if you have a difficult time in a test, in a class. He's sovereign over your life. And He's got Satan on a leash, and He lets him out just as far as He wants to so He can accomplish His purpose in your life and in my life and in Yugoslavia and in America and in the world and in all of the universe. Do you know that? And one day He's going to draw the leash in. He's going to put him in hell. God's in control, not Satan. God's at work in your life. Paul told the Philippian church, he said, for I am confident of this very thing, Philippians 1:6, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. A dependence upon God. Paul knew something else. He chose to be a servant. Paul chose that in spite of the difficulties and the circumstances, I'm still going to be a servant of God. I'm going to give my life serving my Master, the Lord Jesus. And I'm going to give my life to other people. That's, you know, I don't know about you, but me sometimes, when I get in difficult circumstances, or I begin suffering or whatever, I want to turn inward. Oh, poor me. Good night. Look at me. What hard, difficult time I'm going through. Lord, I just want to stay in bed this morning. Just pull the covers up over my head and not get up. Do you ever do that? Poor me. Don't you feel sorry for me, Lord? You know what He says? He says, child, everything that you need today. Find in me your grace. Find in me your joy. Receive from me the kara, my joy. Receive from me my gladness. Receive from me my present help. Receive from me my affection and compassion. Receive from me the fullness, the completeness of my life in you. Get out of bed. And quit feeling, quit having a pity party. Nobody's coming anyway. And be a servant. Follow me. Serve me. Let me use you in the life of those around you. Let me use you in the life of your roommate, in the life of your friend. Let me use you in the life of your spouse. Let me use you in your neighborhood, your next door neighbor. Let me use you in your church. There's a verse in Isaiah 58, 10 and 11. It says, all of this is so good for us when we have a pity party. Isaiah 58, 10 and 11. And if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness and your gloom will become like midday. And the Lord will continually guide you and you'll be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. You want to know the cure for depression and discouragement and a pity party? Get out of bed and say, God, you're all I need. Use me today. Go after it. Enjoy it. Amen. Paul was a servant. He called himself a bondservant. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus. What is a bondservant? A bondservant is one who is bound to another in the bonds of constraining, by the bands of constraining love. One who is in such a close relationship with another that only death could break that band and that bond. One whose will is swallowed up in the sweet will of God. One who serves another with reckless abandon, not regarding his or her own interests. Chuck Swindoll said that from Laugh Again. Good definition of being a bondservant. Paul said that to these Philippian people. He said, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each one of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Paul was a servant. And then Paul had a heart of thanksgiving. Paul had learned that if he was going to have the fullness of Christ's joy, if he really was going to follow Christ, if he was going to live the Christian life, he had to find all of his needs met in Christ. In pain and suffering and sorrow, he had to decide that he was a bondservant of Christ. His will was swallowed up in the sweet will of Christ. If God restrained him from going to Macedonia and said to go to, or restrained him from going to Asia and said to go to Macedonia, he had no choice but to say, the sweet will of God swallows up all of my life. And I'm bound to my master with all the love that's within me. As a response to his love for me, and I'm going to follow him. Paul learned that. And then he learned to be thankful. He had a thankful heart. He told these Philippians people, he said, I thank my God in all of my remembrance of you. We might tend to think, boy, I remember that time in Philippi. That's when they stripped my robe off my back and beat me and threw me in prison. That wasn't a very good time. I'm not very thankful for that. But Paul said, I thank my God in all of my remembrance. And this letter is a letter of Paul from Paul's heart. This is one of the most personal, if not the most personal, letter from Paul that we have in the Scriptures. Well, he's basically telling this church at Philippi, I love you with all of my heart, with the love of Christ. And if I had to do it all over again, they could beat me again, they could throw me in prison again, but I'd come to you to give you the greatest thing that I have, which is Christ. And I'm thankful for you. Very, very thankful for you. He tells, and he instructs them in this. He says, be anxious for nothing in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul developed an attitude of thankfulness. He had a hope and a confidence in God. He knew God was in control. He knew God had finished what he started. What are some things that rob us of joy? What are some things that rob you of joy? rob me of joy. Worry robs us of joy, doesn't it? Worry is an inordinate anxiety about something that may or may not occur. Stress robs us of joy. It's an intense strain over a situation we cannot change or cannot control. And then fear robs us of joy. A dreadful uneasiness over the presence of danger, evil, or pain, making things appear worse than they really are. Paul said, be anxious for nothing. Don't let any of these things make you anxious. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, your Father, who cares for you, who loves you, who's made you His child. How do we have the fullness of Christ's joy? If you're going to serve Christ, and I want to serve Christ, and I know you do. You know, the qualifications aren't a master's degree in divinity. Sometimes I laugh at that very name. That means I'm probably able to make good Christmas candy, doesn't it? That's not one of the requirements for serving Christ. And one of the requirements for serving Christ isn't looking a certain way. It isn't having a certain thing. It isn't being from the right family. It isn't having never made this mistake or wishing you had done this different. Being a servant of Christ, the credentials are your will is swallowed up in the sweet will of God, and that you've come to a place where you understand that Christ is all you need and you desire Him more than anything else, and you understand your position as His child. The story of the prodigal son, two sons, both children of the Father, the Father is God, two sons, full rights and privileges of sonship. One takes his rights and privileges, and he wastes his life. One takes his rights and privileges, and he never even enjoys them. He winds up bitter and angry, the older brother. The younger brother wastes his life. And the father's heart, they never understood. Listen to Luke 15, verse 31. The older son's angry because the younger son received the party when he came back from wasting his life. And the father loved them both so much. And they were both sons, full rights and privileges. Luke 15:31. And his father said to him, my child, this is God speaking to you from the Word of God. My child, you have always been with me, and all that is mine. What do you want in life? That truth right there will carry you through the Christian life. Because in that truth, in that one verse, God is meeting every need that you have as a human being. I'm with you always. His presence. Whether and your will is swallowed up in His will, He's going to go with you every step of the way. It's a day-by-day affair. It's a day-by-day walk. You can't can it and store it and put it up and use it for tomorrow. You're going to have to get up in the morning like the children of Israel did with the manna. Get up in the morning just like I'm learning to do and go gather your manna, God's provision of joy, God's provision of love, God's provision for your physical needs, God's provision for all of your life. It's a day by day deal. He's with you always. And then that's one of our greatest human needs, or two of our greatest human needs, you know this, being in this church, security and significance. Well, that verse is the answer for both of those. I'm with you always. Security. I'll never be afraid again. I'll never feel alone again. I'll never feel left set apart from God or set apart from somebody because my Father, my Abba, is with me always. And then all that I have is yours. Your significance. Your worth in life. You are a child of God Almighty. He says, all that I have is yours. All of creation belongs to you. He's working the bugs out of us, developing and putting us in our places as we walk with Him to let Him use us in life, to be used of Him in life wherever He desires to fulfill us and satisfy us. Our Abba loves us and is involved in our lives to accomplish His purpose in you and in me and in those around your life and in those around my life and to whatever extent He wants. And the credentials are not some great degree or some great ability. The credentials are that you simply are dependent upon Him have chosen to let your will be swallowed up in His, and that you're learning to give thanksgiving. Will you stand with me?